Annette's going to read to us from the Bible, and if you've got a Bible nearby in the pew in front of you, you'll find that on page 1026 in the pew Bibles. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Thanks, Annette.
On page 1026, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated and turn with me to your Bibles, if you've still got them open. But it's on Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, verses 1 to 20 on page 1026. Well, one of the excitements of Christmas, especially for children, is wondering what you're going to get for Christmas. Isn't that right, kids? What are we going to get for Christmas? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? And so with bubbling anticipation, we look at the bottom of the Christmas tree, eyeing for a card with our name on it, hoping for something we've always wanted. Maybe when others weren't looking, we've picked up our present, given it a bit of a shake, put it to our ear, and had a hopeful guess as to what it is, and then carefully put it back so no one knows. I haven't done that, of course. No. From the shape of the box under my Christmas tree and the sound it makes when I shake it, I think I know what I'm getting for Christmas. Guessing with excitement what's in it for me at Christmas might seem a selfish thing to actually think about. But we all know it's just one of those natural things that we do. And if we're honest, it comes a little easier than actually thinking about others and what they want. In fact, it comes a lot easier. That's who we are and what we're like. And if we're feeling a little guilty about that, that's natural too. We shouldn't be despairing about that. But there is a danger. If it's the birthplace. It's the birthplace of pride and conceitedness. We may be able to hide it from others, but we certainly can't hide it from God. He knows what we are, and he's told us he's not happy. We read in God's word, God looks down from heaven upon all the people to see if any understand, If any seek God, all have turned away. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. But the good thing is, God loves the world all the same. We read elsewhere. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Despite who we are and what we are, God will remain faithful to his promises and loving towards all he has made. Why have I begun my Christmas message this way this morning? Well, because I want to remind us today of what we have because of Christmas. What we have because of this day. What's in it for you and what's in it for me. It might seem a little selfish putting it that way, but I found it actually works for me quite well, especially this Christmas. The reason being, I think, it's because we know why we have Christmas. You and I wouldn't be here this morning in church if we didn't know why we have Christmas. But there are some Christmases, when despite knowing why we have Christmas, the significance of that event just drips off us. And the excitement of what we've got because of Christ and Christmas, it eludes us. The bubbling anticipation, the excitement is not there. We come to God's Christmas tree, we pick up his present with our name on it, we give it a shake, put it to our ear, and we listen. But we know what it is. It's the same present every year. There are some Christmases when that's how we feel. And it's these Christmases when we need to allow ourselves to ask the question and remember, what's in it for me? And I think this year may be for many one of those Christmases. And it's okay. It's okay to ask it. What's in it for me? What's in it for us? Let me remind us. Let's look again under God's Christmas tree. And let's consider afresh this morning God's present to us that has our name on it. His present is that familiar message of the angel, isn't it? To those wide-eyed shepherds on the hills of Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Good news. Good news is God's present to us. It's good news is what's in it for us. And we need some good news, don't we? We really do. We really do need some good news at this time of the year. This year, the world we live in has been overshadowed by drought and by fire. Natural disasters, war, terror, ongoing acts of violence, corporate corruption, sexual abuse, and our own personal disappointments, grief, and fears. We need good news. But good news is only good news as far as it relieves our fear of something bad. It's only of any good if it's of relevance, if it benefits us personally. It needs to be news that gives us hope to face whatever fears we might have, and the sadnesses of life. It needs to bring joy. Joy that creates in us, worldly speaking, resilience for life and a reason for living, a living hope. And God's present of good news, according to the angel, is of great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. I remember when I was swimming at a beach one summer in my late teens, I got caught in a rip, and I'm not the best of swimmers, and I panicked. I waved and I called out to the lifesaver. I hoped he'd see me and not stay on the beach. He did. He came to me, he reassured me, he got me to trust him and to trust him to safely take me out of the rip and back to the beach. It was a humbling experience and a very embarrassing one for me. It was stupid for me to be swimming where I was, but I was grateful. As I was being saved by the lifesaver, I could still feel the force of the rip, and I could still feel the power of the waves in the deep, dark water. My doubts and my fears were still there. But despite my doubts, despite my fears, the fact was I was now safe. I was now safe in the arms of the lifesaver. He was rescuing me, reassuring me as he took me to the beach. My salvation was good news. Despite my surroundings, despite my doubts, despite my fears, it was good news of great joy to be on that beach. I thanked the lifesaver. I was very grateful. But I remember his face, seriously tired, his relief. He was looked back at the sea and a little cranky, then back at me, now smiling and saying, "It's okay, you're safe. We were very lucky." Looking back, I think I would say more fortunate than lucky. If it was not for the lifesaver, his willingness to come and to save me, I may not have been saved at all. "Do not be afraid," the angel said. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." That good news of great joy was that a saviour has been born for us, Christ the Lord. And as Christians, we remember at Christmas that Christ was born. But we also remember that Christ did not stay a baby. That's why you may have noticed as you walked in this morning, if you didn't, you can notice as you go out, that our manger is empty. There's no baby in the manger. The reason being is that Jesus came to die and live again, that we may not be swept away and perish, separate from God and his love forever, but have life everlasting in all its fullness with him now and forever. That's why very shortly we will have in Holy Communion together and celebrate God's love for us, to remember that. Jesus grew up and became a man. His mission on earth was not to stay, but to save us, to save us and to give us peace. Peace with God, peace with others, and peace within ourselves. It's a twofold state of peace, actually, the word, a state of well-being, but also a state of an end to hostility, an end to war, with God, with others, and within ourselves. Despite the fear, despite the frustrations within that linger, and the certainty of our surroundings. A peace Jesus secured for us in his life's mission, death and resurrection. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Peace is God's good news gift to us. Peace is God's gift of great joy. Christmas reminds us of that. We know we are saved. The lifesaver has come. But while we are being saved, we still feel the rip and the waves in the deep, dark water of our sin. We still have our doubts. We still have our fears. We still struggle with its drowning power, and the sadness and the suffering are still our lot. Though we now have little glimpses of it, we still have times when we will feel the absence of perfect peace within ourselves, with others, and with God. We know we love God, and we know God loves us. And we long for a time when the absence is gone, and we know peace, perfect peace, in all its fullness, never to go away. Though this is our perspective on life, it's not God's perspective. If we could see our Saviour's face having saved us, it might be a serious, tired one, but relieved. Looking back at the cross, a little cranky with us, then back at us smiling. It's okay. You're safe. Despite what we feel, the facts are that God's plan has always been to bring about his peace completely and for us to experience it in all its fullness with him forever when he comes again. Peace to those on whom his favour rests. The Apostle Peter sums it up pretty well, and he sums us up pretty well too, himself and Christians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Though we may get glimpses of our great joy, friends, on Christ's return, God's plan for us is to know and experience his peace in all its fullness with him and his people forever. No longer will it be a glimpse of great joy, but a state of non-erasable, perfect peace, perfect well-being within oneself, with others, and with God. This gift of peace began from the beginning of time, was promised of old, and was accomplished in the sending and work of the Christ. Now, as Christians, we know we are at peace with God. Christmas reminds us of that. We know we are saved. The lifesaver has come. However, though being saved, we still feel that rip. We still feel the power of the waves in the deep, dark water of our sin. We know what we're like. We still have doubts and fears, and struggle and suffering are still our lot until Christ comes. These feelings and life's disappointments, frustrations and struggles will always be about us. They may depress us, fill us with anxiety, and get us to doubt the great joy we now know of God's good news to us. And it's okay to ask, what's in it for me? But despite our feelings, despite our fears, despite our frustrations, despite our doubts and depression, because of Christmas, we are safe. We are safe in the arms of our lifesaver, Jesus. He has saved us. and is taking us back to his heavenly beach, his heavenly home. Despite our feelings, despite our fears, these are the facts. This is the good news of great joy as we think on Christmas and the coming of the Christ. Hear the angel's message once again. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory, glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom his favour rests." O God, we gather this morning to say thank you. You are the God of hope. Fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.